Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, February the 6th. So will you be headed off to Walmart today to pick up some antifreeze or maybe a space heater or something else to help you through this cold snap? Some of you have told me when we have done programs about Walmart and the various battles that we've had in Wisconsin over building Walmarts in various communities that you would never shop at Walmart. But others say, hey, why not? The prices are affordable, and not all of us can afford to make that decision to shop somewhere else. And you think that Walmart stores are good for your local communities, providing jobs and stuff at low prices. We will talk this hour about both viewpoints with a guest who has researched what he calls the Walmart effect. That's the name of his book, The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. He'll answer your questions and respond to your views about Walmart at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234, toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, please use 263-1890, 263-1890, or send your question or comment via email, talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Our guest is Charles Fishman. He is an award-winning investigative journalist. He is senior editor at Fast Company magazine, and he is author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. He will be speaking tonight at UW-Whitewater, part of the Contemporary Issues Lecture Series, and we'll give you more information on his speech in a little bit. First, let me welcome him to the program. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Wisconsin.
Yeah, well, welcome to winter in Wisconsin. How do you like it?
Well, I grew up all my years of school until leaving for college in Miami, Florida. This is literally the coldest weather I have ever experienced. I walked outside last night when I got here without a coat just to see what minus 11 feels like.
Oh, my gosh. So, and you survived.
Well, yeah, you can feel the inside of your nose freezing. Yes, it's
I know.
Cold.
It makes us hardy. It makes us hardy. Yeah. But anyway, I hope it's going to warm up a little bit tomorrow. But you're probably going to be on your way off then.
Well, and the people are friendly, so that's what matters in the winter.
Now, the reception to some proposed Walmart developments in Wisconsin has been pretty chilly too, and met with some fierce opposition from opponents who say that Walmart, this company, is practically evil with, you know, low wages and bad social policies and no health benefits, and that Walmart is just bad for us. Is Walmart really that bad?
Well, I know that, in fact, some communities in Wisconsin have successfully declined to provide zoning for Walmart, and Walmart has not been able to build. I want to say right up front, whatever you think about Walmart, I think that's good, because people sometimes forget that they are, in fact, in command of their own communities. Mm-hmm. That's why there are planning boards and zoning boards and city councils and county commissions. Most of us never pay any attention to any of that, but that's the point of those governmental bodies, is to sort of think about what kind of community we want and whether what someone's asking to do fits with that community. And they say yes and no every single week or every single month, every time they meet. So that's democracy. That's perfectly reasonable. It's your community, you know, Sheboygan or Kenosha or Green Bay or Madison. It's not Walmart's community. Walmart has a town. That's Bentonville. Mm-hmm. When Walmart comes to a place like this, they're asking permission to do something they want to do. And it's okay to say yes, and it's okay to say no. So I think that's the first thing to say. People say, well, it's just capitalism. Yes, it's capitalism meeting democracy, and it's perfectly reasonable to control your own community. Walmart is certainly not evil. I think you have to be careful about branding corporations with words like evil, just because I think they're so inflammatory that it's hard to have a constructive conversation after you use a word like that. I've spent 4 years of my life researching Walmart, there are plenty of things that Walmart does that are unappealing and negative. Mm-hmm. And there are also things that Walmart does that are incredibly positive. Walmart's prices are, in fact, incredibly positive. They're not an illusion. It is an inexpensive place to shop. They are so large and so powerful that they keep the inflation rate in the entire country lower than it would otherwise be. And that's incredible. That said, their environmental impact is very negative. Their impact on overseas labor, I think, is quite negative. And they often, the pressure that they generate for lower prices often sends U.S. jobs overseas. That is, factories here close and the products end up made somewhere else, China, Bangladesh, India, Indonesia, because it's cheaper to make them there. Their wages in the U.S. are not great. Mm-hmm. I was looking up the statistics for Wisconsin this morning. They pay on average $10.48 an hour in Wisconsin, which means $400 a week before taxes, which comes to roughly $21,000 a year.
Yeah, and some would say that that's not a bad wage for a lower-skilled worker.
Well, exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the blue jeans you're buying for your fourth-grade daughter for school cost $9.99, what do you think the people at Walmart are making? We cannot have it both ways. We can't have the cheapest possible prices and also imagine that the people are being paid $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. That said, While the wages for that person for 1 year are about $21,000, Walmart's profit is $23,000 per minute.
Well, that's something to consider, and we will as we check weather and continue then talking with Charles Fishman, senior editor at Fast Company magazine, author of The Walmart Effect, how the world's most powerful company really works and how it's transforming the American economy. We welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or 263-1890 if you're in Madison. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Good to have you with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay tuned. Ben Marins is with you this afternoon between 4 and 6 for At Issue with Ben Marins. Ben's guest after 5 says the takeover might make sense financially, but Wisconsinites are justifiably proud of Midwest Airlines, and he hopes Air Trans bid to take over Midwest Airlines is not successful. That's At Issue with Ben Marins coming up after 5 this afternoon. We are talking about the Walmart effect, how the world's most powerful company really works and how it's transforming the American economy. That's the name of the book by our guest, Charles Fishman, who is in Wisconsin today. He'll be speaking at the UW-Whitewater campus tonight at 7 o'clock at the Irvin Young Auditorium. It's a free and open lecture. Everyone's invited. If you want more information, 262-472-4766. Speaking tonight at UW-Whitewater. You can speak with Charles Fishman right now at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Before we go to the phones, Charles Fishman, when you first wrote the book, I recall that Walmart didn't want to cooperate with you, didn't want to talk to you, and you had to investigate all of this without their personal input. You have new material in this release of The Walmart Effect in paperback that includes Walmart talking back?
Yes. I actually wrote the entire book about Walmart without Walmart's cooperation, which was quite a daunting hurdle. After the book came out, they sort of changed their mind. They decided the book was being taken fairly seriously, and they wanted to know if I would come to Bentonville and talk to them. And so I'm a journalist. I'll talk to you anytime.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a new chapter on my visit to headquarters and on the topics that they wanted to talk about when I went down there, sort of what headquarters is like, and also they wanted to talk to me, in fact, about health insurance, something they get beaten up for a lot, and
yeah.
about sustainability and environmental impact, and about overseas labor issues.
Boy, our lines are full, but let's just touch on this health insurance issue, because that has become a big issue in Wisconsin as well, because a lot of the people that are on Medicaid programs in Wisconsin are Walmart employees. Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, and there's even been legislation which did not pass that would somehow try to force Walmart to provide more affordable coverage for their employees.
Sure. I mean, the citizens of Wisconsin, Georgia, Florida, Tennessee, lots of states have this issue. Any state that releases the data, it turns out that a large number of people receiving public health insurance from the government, are actually working at Walmart, which seems odd. And what that, of course, means is that taxpayers are helping subsidize the employees of a private company, and in fact the largest private company in history, which is also very profitable. Health insurance is, of course, one of those complicated issues. I'm sure you guys have talked about it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Half of Walmart's employees do receive health insurance from Walmart.
And that's something they wanted to point out to you?
Well, mm-hmm. that I knew. They wanted to talk a lot about how come they get criticized for their health insurance. The health insurance at Walmart is better than the health insurance at Target.
Mm-hmm.
You never hear about Target. Partly that's because Walmart is so large. Partly, though, it's because these are two really separate issues that get mixed up. People are very angry about health insurance in this country. You can, as easily as you can start a topic, a conversation about Walmart, you can start a conversation about health insurance. Walmart's not the problem with the medical system in the country, but it is worth asking, should taxpayers be paying the cost for health insurance for people who work at a private company? And I think that raises a whole set of issues that don't necessarily have anything to do with Walmart. Half the employees at Walmart get health insurance. Probably a quarter of the employees receive public assistance in some form or fashion from local health insurance, you know, from state or local health insurance programs. So that's a large chunk. The problem is, if you're only taking home $1,200 or $1,300 a month, you can't afford to buy health insurance.
Yeah.
You can't afford $40 a month. That's a big chunk of money.
We have full lines, so let me get some calls in. Julie in St. Croix Falls. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to comment on his averaging of the wage in this area. We're by the Minnesota border, and in this area, $10 an hour in some odd sense was high. That's a high wage for a Walmart wage. It's considerably lower than that. And there aren't 40-hour weeks. It's more like 20, 30, 15. No one's making that full-time wage. I do agree that it's not up to Walmart or the state of Wisconsin to assume that Walmart should be taking care of their health insurance. None of the other companies in the state do. So just blaming them for the health care issue is wrong, too. And I'll take any comment he has to make on that off the air. Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
Well, I appreciate Julie's point. I was trying to be as generous as possible to Walmart, but that's right. If the average wage is $10 in Wisconsin, that may be what a lot of people in the bigger cities, like there aren't that many bigger cities, but like Milwaukee are earning, or Madison. But sure, that means there's plenty of people. Half the people are earning $7 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, if you're earning $7 an hour and your work week is 32 hours, which is very typical at Walmart, you're not even earning $300 a week. And even if you're shopping at Walmart, you need somebody to help you. You need a spouse or a significant other to add to your income, because even one person can't live on $300 a week, let alone a family.
Yeah. Thank you, Julie, for the call. Barbara in Madison, good morning.
Good morning. And, Mr. Fishman, if you really want to get a warm, fuzzy feeling while you're here in Madison, I urge you to visit our Overture Center and look at that wonderful plaque on the wall. Mr. Frauchi has been so benevolent to our community, and his wife, Pleasant Roland. And I'm wondering if you could comment. Is Walmart, do they do things for communities where they earn this extreme amount of money, or is it all shipped back to Arkansas?
A philanthropy of Walmart?
Well, what a great question. I have controversial views about corporate philanthropy. Let me answer the question directly. Walmart is the largest single charitable contributor of any corporation in America. So that stuns people, but just like they're the largest employer in the country and the largest company except for ExxonMobil, they are the largest provider of charitable contributions. And in fact, to the woman's question directly, most of their charitable contributions are not high level. They have 4,000 stores, and each of those stores gives away between $10,000 and $50,000 a year. And that's where most of their charitable giving is done, right in the communities where the stores sit for community centers and local programs of all kinds. I personally think that we shouldn't be looking to corporations to give charitable contributions. Walmart's charitable contributions ultimately cost its customers a little bit of money. It may only be a few pennies a year, but the only way you have charitable contributions to give is because you have profits, and you could reduce your prices by that much. And so there's a whole complicated separate question about whether companies should be giving charity. The only reason Walmart gives charitable contributions, the only reason any company gives charitable contributions, is to look better in people's eyes. Companies are not people. We give charitable contributions because of how we feel about our local community and the priorities we think should be set. Companies do it for PR reasons. But Walmart is not frugal with its charitable contributions. They give away millions and millions of dollars.
You know, Walmart, it seems, has really kicked up their PR machine in recent months or the last year or so, because they are getting a lot of bad press, and it's hurting the bottom line to some extent, is it not?
Yes, both your points are dead on. In just the last year or sort of 18 months, Walmart has tried to learn how to have a more constructive relationship with the press, which is really to say it has tried to learn how to have a more constructive relationship with the whole community that is the country, to talk to people, to listen to people. It turns out that that's harder than it looks. The real problem, though, is that Walmart has a whole set of PR problems. How does it treat employees? How does it treat communities when it wants to build a store? How does it treat U.S. factories that make goods that might be made a little cheaper, a few pennies cheaper in some other country? And the problems are PR problems, but the solution is not PR.
Mm-hmm.
The solution is change how you treat communities, change how you treat the environment. And so the real problem is that having a better PR effort isn't really the key. The key is the company needs to evolve. It needs to change its behavior. They're talking a lot about doing that in the last year, coincidentally, just since the book came out.
I've got to jump in because we're going to check news from National Public Radio, but we will return with Charles Fishman, author of The Walmart Effect, after the news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:36 on this Tuesday morning, February the 6th, and we continue talking with Charles Fishman, senior editor at Fast Company magazine. He is the author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. You can check out more information on the website, walmarteffectbook.com. Charles Fishman is in Wisconsin this morning. He's in Whitewater because he'll be speaking tonight at the UW-Whitewater campus at the Irvin Young Auditorium at 7 o'clock, a free lecture for everyone. For more information, 462-472-4766, 462-472-4766 for more information on the lecture tonight. 1-800-642-1234 is the number to call if you'd like to talk about Walmart with Charles Fishman this hour. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And we'll go back to the phones and take our next caller, Paul in Duluth, Minnesota. Hi, Paul.
Good morning.
Morning.
I think I've come up with a happy compromise for what I will and will not buy at Walmart. I'd like your guest's opinion of this. I'm disabled on a fixed income, and what I've discovered is that there are two primary things that are really cheap at Walmart. One is dog food, and one is diet soda. They're house brand 2-liter bottles. I've moved my prescriptions from Walmart because I've found that under Medicare Part D, I can order them directly from my carrier and get them through the mail. So that's really about all I buy there. The Super Walmart we have here has a produce department, and I've checked the prices and quality of their produce. And our local grocers are not only competitively priced, but the quality is much better. And I just like your, so I don't buy any groceries there. And I've heard that they pack their meat with nitrogen gas to keep it fresh longer, so I won't even touch it.
Yeah.
I'd like your opinion on that, what you think of that compromise.
Well, I think what I appreciate, Paul, is that you have actually thought about how you shop at Walmart and why you shop at Walmart. It's not my job to tell anybody whether they should or should not shop there. Walmart's a legal business doing a good business in America. If you want to shop there, that's fine. The point of writing the book, in fact, was to get people to do just what Paul has done, which is to say, how does this company do business? Am I comfortable with that? Do they serve my needs? Paul zeroed in on some interesting things. Walmart now sells 20% of all the groceries sold in America. Out of every $100 spent on groceries in America, $20 are spent at Walmart. But as Paul pointed out, in fact, they kind of struggle to make their produce department appealing and also to keep the produce fresh just because they're so large and the logistics involved in produce are challenging. So you've chosen to shop there in a way that meets your particular needs. Not everybody's interested in buying Sam's brand diet soda. Some people want, you know, the name brands. I would say I personally, after years of studying Walmart, still shop there, in part just to keep up with what they're doing. And I don't buy any manufactured goods there because I'm not really that comfortable with how they operate in foreign factories. So most of what I buy is at Walmart is, in fact, made in the USA. My goal is simply to say, think about the impact that your spending has on the world and learn about how whatever company you do business with does business. And that was the point of writing the book about Walmart. Here's how Walmart does business. Feel free to behave however you're comfortable behaving.
Yeah. Does Walmart put grocery stores and mom-and-pop stores out of business when it opens up shop?
Grocery stores are a great case because you can really analyze quite clearly when they come into a market. They open grocery stores city by city because it doesn't make sense to open one grocery store here and another grocery store 600 miles away. You open 10 in one urban area. In the years when they went from zero grocery stores to number one in the world, 27 U.S. grocery chains declared bankruptcy, and 25 of them cited Walmart. So, yes, groceries are a perfect example. We don't eat more because the groceries are cheaper. We just spend less on groceries and use the money on something else. So when Walmart opens grocery stores and takes 20% of the business away from the existing stores in a community, some of those stores are going to fail. That's the way capitalism works.
Coincidentally, Charles Fishman, we set up this interview with you a little while ago because we knew you were going to be in town, but just yesterday I received in the mail a copy of the book The Walmart Revolution, a pro-Walmart book, I guess, where this is, let me just have you react to this. One of the authors of this book says that Walmart has arguably done more to help ordinary Americans, especially the poor and disadvantaged, than any other institution in our society. That Walmart is actually saving America.
Well, I actually coincidentally just asked the publishers to send me a copy of that book, excuse me, yesterday because I heard about it and I haven't seen it and I've been asked to review it. But look, there's nothing. That's what's complicated about Walmart. There's nothing contradictory about that perspective, that Walmart has done more for ordinary Americans than almost any other institution. If, in fact, you make $400 or $500 a week, Walmart sells its groceries for 20% less than the national chains in the same towns. That translates into 7, 8, 9 weeks of free groceries a year just for changing where you shop. If you're making $400 or $500 a week and someone offers you 7 weeks of free groceries, that changes your life. That liberates a whole piece of your income to do something that's important or urgent or just something to give you some pleasure. And so, yes, Walmart has single-handedly kept prices down in the entire economy, year after year. They are true to a very important bargain. Walmart's profit margin, that is, the amount of money they keep at the end of the day, has not changed in 20 years. When you spend $10, Walmart keeps 30 cents. Given their size and scale and the impact they've had, you would expect the profit margin to get larger and larger and larger over time. They squeeze everybody out. They just raise the prices, keep a little more for themselves. They have not done that. Much of the negative impact they have is a kind of unintended consequence. They pay attention to only one thing. Guess what? We're delivering low prices. Yes, that means our wages are low, but do we mention our low prices?
Mm-hmm.
So what these authors argue that I've just read the back of the book like you, I haven't actually seen the book itself, is that they've done good things for working people. That's fine. That doesn't preclude the damage they also do.
Rose in Menominee Falls is with us. Hi, Rose.
Hi there. I'm not an economist, and I think a lot of economy is chicken and egg kind of thing. But earlier in the program, you mentioned if Walmart sells jeans for $9.99, that therefore that's such a low price they can't afford to then turn around and pay real high wages and compensation and so on. I would think it would be just the opposite, that if you sell jeans for $9.99 and therefore can sell a huge volume because they're so cheap, you're going to make more money, and therefore you could turn around and you ought to be able to have enough of a profit because of that to in turn compensate your employees well.
Well, that's a great question, and Rose, I am not an economist either, but let me ask you to step back from the big picture, from the little picture, the jeans, and look at the slightly bigger picture. Walmart's profit per employee, that is how much money the company makes for every employee it has, is $6,000. That is to say, at the end of the year, Walmart keeps $6,000 per person that it employs. That's very, very small. In fact, if it were to buy health insurance for everybody, there would be no profit. If it were to raise wages from $10 an hour to $12 an hour, there would be no profit. So the profit at Walmart, $6,000 per employee. The profit at Microsoft is $200,000 per employee. The profit at ExxonMobil is $400,000 per employee. So Walmart simply doesn't keep but a few pennies of every dollar you spend there. Literally, when you spend a dollar, they keep 3 cents. When you spend a dollar with Microsoft, they keep 40 cents. And so that's the margin they operate on. That's the way they've chosen to do business. That means there are many things they could do to improve the lives of their employees, but they are not. The corporation is not keeping the money. They've chosen to operate on a very slim margin. Despite the volume of goods that they're sending out the door, they're keeping so little money that there's just not a lot of cushion there.
We're talking with Charles Fishman. He is the author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Charles Fishman in Wisconsin Today, speaking tonight at UW-Whitewater. 1-800-642-1234, our number if you'd like to speak to him right now, in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 12 minutes before 7 o'clock on this very cold Tuesday morning, February the 6th. Coming up after 8 o'clock on this very cold day, we'll talk about global warming. That's coming up after 8. We're talking about Walmart and the U.S. economy. Our guest, Charles Fishman, senior editor at Fast Company magazine. He's author of the book, The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy. Charles Fishman is an award-winning investigative journalist who grew up in Miami, now lives in Philadelphia, is in Wisconsin today, and has never felt temperatures this cold, has never experienced these double-digit below-zero temperatures. He's in Whitewater today because he'll be speaking tonight on the UW-Whitewater campus. And before we go back to the phones, and again, our lines are full, let me get you, Charles Fishman, to react to this recent ad that Walmart put on TV.
It's been said that when Walmart comes to town, it's like getting a nice pay raise.
Because our low prices save the average working family $2,300 a year.
Which buys a lot of things. And a whole bunch of freedom. But Sam Walton's vision and our commitment today is much bigger than that. Last year alone, Walmart created thousands of new American jobs, many in areas where they're needed most. And every associate can qualify for health insurance for less than a dollar a day.
Well, one thing that Sam believed in was that you should give back to the communities.
And this year, once again, neighborhood Walmart stores will be one of the largest corporate contributors to local charities in America.
Savings to customers.
Commitment to the community.
Opportunities for associates. Those are the values that guide us.
And is all that true?
Well, what's remarkable is that it's both true and completely misleading. For every 500 jobs that Walmart creates, and it created 120,000 jobs last year, for every 500 jobs it creates, it destroys 450 jobs. So,
how does it? Because the grocery store goes out of business.
Because people go out of business, and that's now the economists have had time to do really careful county by county research. So Walmart didn't create 120,000 jobs in America last year. Walmart created 120,000 Walmart jobs. Mm-hmm. In the process of creating those 120,000 Walmart jobs, it will destroy 100,000 jobs for a net increase of not 120, but 20. And so, yes, you know, Walmart's a huge employer. When Walmart comes to town, within 5 years, five businesses have gone out of business. So that's good for the customers. And let me correct one thing that you said, and we all do this sort of verbally. Walmart doesn't destroy local businesses. The people in that community destroy the local businesses. We vote with our wallets. We mourn the passing of the Main Street toy store or clothing store or hardware store, but we're the ones who put them out of business by going to Walmart. Mm-hmm. So, you always have to ask the question, what hat are you wearing? Are you wearing your citizen hat? Are you wearing your shopper hat? Are you wearing your employee hat? Are you wearing your community member hat when you ask what's Walmart's impact? And sometimes the impact is good, and sometimes it's bad.
Yeah. Justin in Chippewa Falls. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
Hi. This kind of ties to your last comment, but one of the things that hasn't been touched on in regards to Walmart, I know there was a PBS piece on it, but how they indirectly promote outsourcing. It seems to be the corporate thought or the corporate thinking right now is that the cheaper you can buy the product, the more it spurs the economy. But even Walmart's own commercial there where it said it saves working families $300. But in the long run, where it hurts working families is where, I'll use the Rubbermaid example, where they tell Rubbermaid how much they're going to give their contract to them for to carry their products in their store. Rubbermaid says, we need more than that. Walmart says, no, then we won't carry your product. Well, what it forces these companies indirectly to do is to outsource their employment to other countries where they can produce the product for much less because they aren't going to pay the employees a working wage or they aren't going to pay their employees a benefit.
Mm-hmm. Charles Fishman?
The caller is absolutely right. In fact, it is often quite explicit. there's a case that I stumbled on that I tell in great detail in the book of the great American sprinkler company L.R. Nelson from Peoria, Illinois. Walmart literally said to them, close your U.S. factory and move your manufacturing to China, or we won't continue to buy your product because we can get it cheaper in China. It's pretty cheap now, made here in the U.S., but it is so much cheaper made in China that either you start making it in China or we'll stop carrying your product anyway and buy it from a Chinese manufacturer. Walmart is a really significant force in causing companies to say the only way to meet the price demands now, all of the benefit has been gotten. We are more efficient than when we started doing business with Walmart. We run our warehouses better. Our packaging is slimmer. Our transportation is smarter. But they're still asking for lower prices, and now we have to move our jean factory or our blender factory to China. And at that point, the economic impact is dramatic. And, of course, Walmart is not necessarily interested in accounting for that kind of economic impact.
Next is Dan in Mayville. Good morning.
Good morning, and thank you, Mr. Fishman, for being on the air this morning. I agree with your earlier statement that we as consumers do have the power to decide whether Walmart will be successful or not. And that actually is my question. Has there been a history of failures of Walmart in America?
Well, I'm not sure you're going to like the answer, Dan. No Walmart in America has ever closed for lack of business. But I want to pick up on the point that Dan made, because I think this is really important. People, I'm not sure I made the point adequately, and people often get confused. It's okay for an organization to be both good and bad. And we live with that kind of mixed problem all the time. Is TV good for us or bad for us? Well, it's both, of course. And you have to moderate it and regulate it. And if you have little kids, you don't just let them gorge on TV. Is the car good for America or bad for America? Well, of course, it's both. It's wonderful freedom and independence and the ability to do what you want to do. And it's also suburbanization and pavement and you know, the homogenization of culture and violent death. How do we deal with that? Our cars now have airbags and catalytic converters to reduce their pollution and fuel economy standards to reduce our dependence on oil. That's the point of understanding an institution like Walmart. Not to be confused, but to say, here are all the benefits that Walmart brings us. Here are all the negative impacts. Let's look at the negative impacts, just like we have with the car. We didn't say, well, cars are polluting. Let's forget using them. We said, let's find a way to reduce the pollution. And that's my point, is that we need to understand Walmart thoroughly, and then it may be time to change some of the rules about how companies the size of Walmart do business. The current rules of the way the U.S. economy is set up were never designed to anticipate a company of the size and scale of Walmart. Walmart is completely unprecedented. And so the more you understand the company, the more you can say, there is much good, let's protect it, and there are all kinds of negative impacts, and we're going to change the rules to reduce that damage because we don't want it.
Jim in Eagleton sent an email. He's under the impression that Walmart pulled out entirely from Germany, one of the few places where they have not been successful, apparently. Can you comment on why they weren't successful there?
Your customers follow Walmart closely.
Yes.
Yes. No stores in America have ever closed for lack of business, but Walmart has not only pulled out of Germany, they pulled out of South Korea this year. They literally failed in two countries. They never made money in Germany, never made money in South Korea, and sold their operations and closed up shop in both countries. The culture in Germany is much different. Unions are a fact of the way business does life. Almost everybody's in a union. 25% of Americans are in unions. I think the number is more like 80 or 90% in Germany, and almost all of retailing is unionized. Retailing in Germany is very closely controlled. The government sets the hours that you can open. So the kinds of things that give Walmart an advantage, more efficient operations, pressure on wages, being open all the time, so whenever you want something, you go to Walmart, those weren't advantages in Germany. And so Walmart did not succeed in Germany and did close up shop there. They had different kinds of problems in South Korea, where the South Koreans are very focused on quality as opposed to price. We have been taught that the best price is the best deal. South Koreans care a lot more about quality. Walmart struggled there. They continue to struggle in Japan, but just so people don't think Walmart's on the run, in Mexico they went from having no stores to being the largest retailer and the largest company in the country in 10 years.
We'll have to leave it there. We're out of time. Lots of people still want to talk to you, Charles Fishman. Sorry we don't have time for all of them. Thank you very much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, Charles Fishman, senior editor at Fast Company magazine, author of The Walmart Effect, How the World's Most Powerful Company Really Works and How It's Transforming the American Economy, speaking tonight on the UW Whitewater campus at 7 p.m. Thanks to Cheryl Gasser for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is The Ideas Network.